Arthur's Jewelry. This is Jim.
Hey, Jim, it's Cameron.
Hey, Cameron, how are you?
Good, buddy. How about yourself?
That was quick, man.
Yeah, I just missed your call. Like, I was just a second too late to pick up the dialer, so.
So how is life?
Life is good, man. How about you?
Good. Yeah, no, it's super. It's
good.
Super.
I love
we
that.
Just did a earlier today at 2 o'clock. I did my first ever podcast. I've never done a
Ooh,
podcast.
Ooh, okay. How was that? Was that a little nerve wracking?
No, it was kind of cool because
yeah.
It was a podcast through the loop, and they wanted to talk about the bourbon tour that we took in between the IJO and RJO.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. How was that?
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was amazing. It was a little unnerving for me because I have hired a tour bus before a couple of times back in when my kids were still in school and the Red Sox would play at Camden Yards.
Okay.
They used to play a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the Wednesday game was always at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
So I would get a 54-passenger bus, and I'd get 54 season ticket or
yeah.
box seat tickets on the third base side, which was the visitor side. And you know, we'd pick up the bus at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'd get into Baltimore in time for lunch. And you know, and it was easy. I knew everybody. I was face to face. I got cash. You know, I mean, it was. This one, going with a tour group, and we ended up with 48 people, and trying to make sure that I had all the costs covered, but without
yeah.
making money on it, and then, you know, IJOs, this kind of pissed me off a little bit, because I only found out about it when I went to book, because I had asked a year before. I said, you know what, can you just extend the room block 2 days? That, you know, that'd be easy. I mean, the owner of IJO was on the tour with his wife and his father. You know, I mean, but then I find out, oh no, Jennifer didn't want to assume responsibility, you know, because this was a drinking event. And what the hell? IJO shows by nature are drinking events. I mean,
you're not kidding.
You're taking a bunch of people to Belgium several times a and you know, all we're doing is drinking beer for a week there, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Golly. So anyway, I called the Marriott, you know, because it was the Marriott and the Omni, and I said, listen, I would like to just do a room block. So, oh, they make that really easy until they say, well, we need a credit card. And I'm like, oh, no, everyone's going to be booking their own rooms. They're going to pay for them themselves. And they're like, oh, no. If anything less than 80% of the rooms in the
I remember
room
you
block,
telling me that, then you're responsible
yeah.
for the additional rooms that you've blocked out. That now you have to cover.
So I just took a very passive approach to it. They would send in a thing for, you know, they need the credit card, and I just delete it. And so at one point, because I talked to my event manager, and I mean, the event was nothing. It wasn't like I needed meeting space and stuff. The event was rooms.
Sure.
And so I told her, I said, listen, I'm a little nervous about this because I've got some people that all they did was they're staying at the Omni rather than moving to the Marriott. They're just extending 2 nights at the Omni at whatever cost, you know. So I said, I might have overshot. So finally she's like, okay, as long as you don't go below 19, you're golden. So at some point, I mean, we're a couple weeks out, and I get this call from somebody in accounting, and they're like, well, no, you need to be 23. I said,
oh, my goodness.
I signed this agreement that said 19,
yep.
and you guys signed it. And, well, just give us your credit card because we'll only run it if we need to. And I thought, I don't think so. So anyway, I think I ended up with 22. I think we were fine. My numbers worked.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, today, this afternoon from Chelsea, I got a thing that said, hey, Mr. Jim, would you fill out this the survey form that she says, I'm so close to my goal. And I'm like, Chelsea, you know what, sweetheart? You're not the one that asked for my credit card. You're getting all 10.
There you go. Yes. Yes.
So, because I would like to go back to – but when we were there with AGS, we stayed at the Omni. And it was – I mean, it was – it had that new hotel smell. I mean, it was some kind of beautiful. This time, because I've got Marriott status, and I thought, well, let me just stay at the Marriott. You know, this will be great. But it's starting to become a tired looking hotel, and I was like, but it was still an upgrade until we got to Louisville,
mm-hmm.
and the Hyatt was the not Louisville but Lexington. The Hyatt was the host hotel for RJO, and I mean that thing was like, ooh, I don't know what people do in Bourbon Country. I like to think they behave themselves, but.
You know, to each their own. Sometimes maybe they do. Sometimes maybe they don't.
But, no, because I haven't talked to Mick since we got back, but he looked like he had a ball.
Yeah.
It was super having him along.
Awesome.
And, you know, it was because we were talking about it on the podcast today with Ross, who's a website developer. He's, you know, he does industry websites, and he actually helped me with the communications on everything, and also I told him, I said, dude, I just need to make sure that every morning we leave with 48 people and every night we come back with 48 people. They don't all have to
yep.
be the same people, but
there you go, just a head count. I don't care if it's
we
the same
have
head.
The right numbers,
you know, I thought you had blonde hair, now it's a brunette. I don't know, whatever. You know.
So he and that was because he had a, it was him and four of his staff,
mm-hmm.
and he booked them all, you know.
Wow.
Nice. And so two of his staff after the first day didn't come the second day, and one of these guys, I mean, this great big guy, you know, Thomas, and so we saw him at RJO, and I said, Thomas, I thought you were, you know, really kind of up for that. He says, well, you know, we really didn't know that much of what we were getting into. And he said, so when Ross told me we were going to be doing these bourbon tours, he said, you know, I'm thinking, okay, we sleep till 11. We're up at noon. And he said, I didn't know that the bus pulled out at 8:15 in the morning.
A little early for some people, huh?
You know, because of course they had to be up and out for the show, but I guess when they when it came to post show, it was a bit of a surprise. So, but you know, we had a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those things where, you know, work hard, play hard. You know, you want to see everything that the trail and whatnot has to offer, you're going to have to kind of wake up and make that sacrifice to do it.
Yep, exactly. So it was phenomenal.
Good, man. I'm glad you had a great time.
Ariana was, because Cindy and I left a day early. We left on Thursday and got to the northwest coast, border of West Virginia, because she's, you know, I mean, sitting in a car for 7.5-8 hours is just a little more than she can handle post wreck, you know. She's still dealing with some stuff. So I was like, that's fine. I mean, let's rock on. And so the next morning we got up, you know, had breakfast, got up, and because we went ahead and hit a Kroger and picked up water and I told her, I said, I think we might be well suited to get some liquid IV to make sure that we've got you know, we're not losing out on important nutrients and minerals and stuff. So So
definitely.
So then, you know, because we had the truck, so we were between Lexington and Louisville, and said, you know, why don't we stop off at Castle and Key? So we hit one distillery on the way out, and then she's like, "Well, do you want to stop anywhere else?" And I was like, "Yeah, I 3 ounces of bourbon, I think it's good. I can hop right back on the interstate." But I said, "You start
any
getting
more
like
than
six
that,
or seven,
yeah,
and then you
right.
start making not so good decisions." So I said, "No, we'll go on." And then, so then Ariana, at the end of it, she's kind of going through listing off the distilleries, and I think she got to 14. And
okay.
I said, "You know what, honey? We can stop counting. I mean, this is one of the reasons when people ask how many bottles I've got, or
yeah.
what did I pay for a bottle?" And
yeah.
I even told them on the podcast, I said, "Once I've made the decision that I'm willing to pay that price for the bottle,
yeah.
I pay it, and then I immediately forget."
Yep.
And I said, you know, the number of bottles, it's not a collection, it's a consumption. And
right.
so it doesn't matter how many bottles there are. But I said, I did try to get, you know, count once, and I said it was too many times with my fingers and toes, and I was like,
"You just said, ah, I'm good."
Suddenly
yep.
it becomes work.
Yep. Yep.
So, but I did. We stopped one evening. They wouldn't. They said the bar was too full. We couldn't get in. But we were at Michter's, and I'm talking to the chief maturation.
Oh, wow.
So this is the lady that decides when it's ready to come out of the bottle.
Okay.
And
yep.
so she told me about two single barrels that were on the shelf. And so I said, "Well, I'll buy them both." And when we got home,
uh-huh.
I opened the cover to my truck bed, and I was like, "Oh, I mean, I love the smell. It smells like I'm in a rick house, but
uh-huh.
that's not the smell I should be smelling." And what I never, ever, ever thought was that the bottles were, because they were hand bottled, they were not, the corks were not sealed.
Oh, no.
I lost 100% of two 750 milliliter bottles of rare bourbon.
Oh.
And Cindy was like, how much? I said, "Well, let's just say all of it, but, you know, in those two bottles, but I've got enough other bottles that," and so she was like, "Well, how much did you spend for those?" I said, "I'm not even going to look at the credit card bill. I don't want to."
No. Oh. No,
now I know I have to go back.
Well, there you go. That's a great way to look at it. That's a glass half full, as it were.
Absolutely. That's always going to be my life.
Glass half full. Yep.
Yep.
It's almost more disheartening that you weren't able to savor any of the lost bourbon than it is the fact that you lost the bourbon.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. But when we were at Blade and Bow, the old Stetzel Willer, and so we had done the tour. I had done that tour back in 21, but we did it with Ariana and Thomas, two of our three kids. And it was amazing as always. And so we were there fairly late in the afternoon one day. And they said, so the tour guide said, "Well," she said, and in 21, I did get to have a pour of their 22-year Blade & Bow.
Okay.
Now, Blade & Bow has been around 22 years. So that juice went back to when Pappy Van Winkle owned the place.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and so it was like, so it was old Stetzel Weller barrels. And,
but they rebranded it as a 22 Blade & Bow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. So,
okay.
So she said we release one bottle for sale every day. And she said, I was in the gift shop before we got started, and she said, nobody bought it. And I said, well, by golly, that's about to change. I went downstairs, because we were up in the Garden and Gun Club bar, and my wife was just all over it. I mean, this is a lifestyle magazine out of Charleston, South Carolina, and so I went downstairs and I was like, I understand you've got a 22-year. And she showed me the glass case. She said, yes, sir. She said, looks like nobody's going to go home with it today. I said, well, I said, I think I am. She said, do you want to know the price? I said, do you want to tell me the price? So she did. I mean, I already had my card out. She told me the price. And I was like, yeah, no, that's mine.
Yep.
So,
love it.
So we'll break in. Now, what one of our tour guides told us about on the tour, and I'd never heard this before, but I bought myself a pack of 12 gold Sharpies. You can actually get gold ink Sharpies. And that is when you've got a special bottle of bourbon, because I do, I share it, we enjoy it and stuff. But he said, have the people that you're drinking it with sign the bottle. And then when it's done, it's not like you have an empty bottle. You've got a bottle full of all the memories and the stories
cool.
and what you just shared.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that a lot.
So I told Thomas, he left today to head back up to law school, but I told him, I said, you know, your mom goes a little nuts because there's so many bottles of bourbon in so many rooms of our house and even in our lake place. But I said, now I'm going to have, like, trash with. But because I've got a bottle of Henry McKenna. That was put into the barrel around April 17th of 2014, and my oldest daughter started college in August of 2014, and that's where she first met her soon to be husband, and they're getting married, and so that's one that I've when it was kind of like they got serious, I was like, okay, we're gonna open this Henry McKenna at the country club when the night, you know, when they're getting married.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, well, I think maybe that Blade and Bow is gonna be. I hope I got up some heavy drinkers, because we're gonna be drinking some good bourbon that night.
Now, do you like, does it bother you if somebody doesn't quite have the palate to appreciate?
No,
or...
no, it doesn't. Not at all. Not
okay.
at all. If I, you know,
because
you know.
you're more. It's more like, hey, I'm sharing this experience with you, whether or not your palate is up to snuff or not, kind of takes a back seat to the fact that you're sharing this sifter with me, or you're sharing this glass with me type deal.
Yeah, what I try to ask, and I'll teach somebody the proper way to drink it and to breathe, you know, so that they don't burn themselves. But and I'm not starting somebody out with full proof, you know. I mean, I'm not out to hurt people.
Yeah, right.
But I know my this was two Christmases ago. Maybe, and my brother got there, and he said, "I want to experience bourbon with you. I want so I said, okay, and I think I started him out with a glass of Eagle Rare. I said, this has got to be, in my opinion, one of the most approachable glasses of bourbon, and." And then the next one was a Pappy 15 year, and my nephew was like, "You're gonna have John drink that?" I said, "You know, I'm gonna ask John to taste it first, the way that God made it. But you know, if he wants to put a Coke in it, I'm okay. But I'm not gonna hold out the good stuff for company. You know, I mean, it's we're sharing it." So I guess it was probably Easter, and he was over for. I said, "John, you want some bourbon?" He said, "You know, I didn't really like it." He said, "I just wanted to do something special with my big brother." And
okay.
I hooked up, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. But So and that's so Thomas and Ariana, out of my three kids, Mariel just doesn't like bourbon. She doesn't like to taste it, but she'll drink gin all day long, and it's like, ooh, yeah, no, I guess I've skied into too many pine trees in my day. That's just not in my quiet taste. But hey, Colleen, would you call Ms. Williams and tell her we're ready for her, please? Anyway, that's, you know, but with Ariana and Thomas, they do, anytime they taste something for the first time, they taste it neat. And then, like I said, do what you want to.
Yeah.
And enjoy it. Life's too short.
Yeah.
And I'm not the guy that you have to sit there and impress.
No, I never really pegged you for that sort of personality at all.
Yeah, yeah. Now there was one place, and there was a cocktail. It was like a signature cocktail, but it was relatively sugary. And I drank one, and I did have a headache the next day. I hadn't had a lot of bourbon, but I realized that the high sugar is just a little much. A little more than
Yeah.
It's just not me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anymore, like even down here, you know, bourbon isn't the easiest thing to drink down here in, you know, 95 degree heat, you know, or the humidity or anything like that. So. You know, during the day, if I want to drink, or, you know, afternoon, you know, whatever, you know, my selection has changed. And if I go to anything else, if it's a sugary drink,
it just sits a little too heavy on the palate, and then,
yep.
And then it shrinks in your brain. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like the, you know, I wake up the next morning like, you know, even if, and I'm not saying I'm getting, you know, three sheets to the wind, but even just a couple, that sugar, I mean, let's face it, Jim, we're not as young as we once were. Our bodies don't handle it, process it the same way, and it hits.
Yeah, no, exactly. So what's up?
Well, so I will get the Rare and Forever all switched out for you.
Okay. Thank you.
So we'll get that taken care of, and it'll be a 1-for-1 on loose, 1-for-1 on jewelry. We can swap everything out, you know, pretty much just, you know, straight up like that. So
that's perfect. Okay.
That won't be an issue.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Because I was thinking we're getting in towards I don't know, is the company kind of changing focus a little bit on the product, maybe?
I can't
this isn't going to go any further than me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll always honest with you, Jim. I love the product. I just feel like our follow through could be so much better.
Yeah.
You know, whether whether it's a shift, I don't think it's a shift. I think it's competitive salespeople, you got 100 different cookie jars and they want their hand in every single one of them. So instead of being a master of one, you're a jack of all trades.
Sure. Sure.
And I think that's where Rare and Forever could be a definite staple in a lot of stores if we really just, you know, kind of put horse blinders on and just said, hey, let's hammer this down. And right now that's not in the cards. It's going
yeah.
to...
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
So,
well, and that's one of the things, one of the observations that we've had is, you know, we'll get when we, you know, when the cheerleader was there, and
yeah.
you know, and so it's all in, and it's strong, but then I start to look and it's like, okay, you're getting a memo in of a GIA stone, that matches identically with what we've got in Rare and Forever, you know, well, it was a little too hard to explain to people, you know. And plus, I think one of the things, because when we start to talk about the human contribution, and now you're saying, well, it's AI graded, and it's like, well, then wait a minute, I just told you that I go to Antwerp because
so it's pitting yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
I could see that totally.
Yep.
And not for nothing, but the more people are relying on AI, the more it turns me off. I mean, I saw Terminator. I saw Terminator 2. It does not end well for us, Jim.
Well, and the other thing, in Virginia, we've become the data center leader. And, you know, with all that goes with it. I mean, Google and Amazon have taken a foothold in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the county EDA, and I was just talking to because there was a meeting last night at the library, and I told the EDA assistant she was in, I had to sign a bunch of documents for her because I'm chairing this year. And I said, you know, the crazy thing is there was a Bedford County against data centers meeting last night. And I said, you know what the biggest benefit I could see out of this is our far, far left extremists actually went into – I didn't go to the meeting, but I said actually went into the same room with our far, far right extremists. And I didn't hear that the sheriff's department had to be called. So I've got to imagine they came out. Now they're coming off on bad information, but because they assume that we're dancing with Google or one of them, you know. And it's like, no, we don't actually have that much open space. We're rolling hills, and those things require big flat spaces. So that's why they tend to locate more in coastal plains, you know, and up in Northern Virginia. I mean, these are places that are 100 feet above sea level because it's really easy to take the tops off the hills. But, you know, we're existing between 700 and 4,000 feet above sea level. So you just don't get the 1,000 acres of flat land in our neck of the woods. But once somebody's decided to subscribe to a conspiracy, it's pretty hard to get through
it
that
is.
Tin hat.
It is. It is. So I respect where you're coming from. You know, and obviously you always want to position your store in the best place to succeed. So
yeah. Yeah. So what we'll do, I'll probably wait until Tuesday.
Yes.
And that way it's just not sitting someplace, and because I'm not sure what the dollar figure is.
Yeah.
So we'll either break it into a couple of, but I don't think, at least in loose, according to Hannah, we only had two loose stones left. So we
you had sold through a lot of stuff, and instead of you know, replacing, getting with you and replacing, we just kind of. I just kind of let it slide, you know, instead of you know, getting back up to a certain threshold and stuff like that. But you will be dealing with the trade out with a new sales rep next week, Jim.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. My last day will be tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So.
I wish you the best. Can you tell me what you're doing?
Yeah, gonna go work the private charters out on the boats, out on the water.
Oh wow!
That'll be my new career. That'll be my full time gig. So.
Well, good for you. So, do you know who we're getting, or is somebody gonna just get assigned to it?
Yeah, I don't know yet. I actually had recommended Mick, but that's not gonna happen because. Mick's last day is tomorrow as well, so.
No kidding.
Yeah, which I assure you is just purely coincidence.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, when I gave my notice, you know, of course, there's a handful of accounts that I immediately knew who I was going to, you know, recommend. And, you know, I went and I said, Arthur's has to go to Mick. I'm like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It has to go to Mick. And they were like, yeah, that's great. Except as soon as Mick got back, he also gave notice. And I was like, oh, well, I guess that's not going to really work out too well then, huh? So, but we'll
now, is he leaving the industry as well?
No,
do you know?
he's staying in the industry. I don't know any other details other than he's going to go, I guess, work with IJO.
Wow.
So, don't know how public all that information is, but I know you're on really good terms with Mick, so I'm sure.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be any.
Well, I knew that there was a because Penny's in her mid 70s, and one of the things that they were discussing was membership. So I wonder if there's a component of that with them.
Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Not sure. I haven't talked to Mick because he was gone for a little while. He came back, I think, beginning of this week or late last week. You know, and then I put my notice in, and then and they said, you know, thanks for the notice, but we'll let you go on Friday. And I said, oh, okay. So my last day will be tomorrow.
Wow. Well, yeah. You got my number.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, shoot me a text because let's stay in touch. I mean,
yes.
I might just find myself in the islands one day and need a ride.
Well, I hope you do.
Yeah.
there's like I said, there's a handful of jewelers that I talk to all the time and would love to grab a bourbon, grab a beer, hang out with, and you are on that short list. So yeah, man.
You had a connection at Virginia Beach or something at one point.
My aunt and uncle, because my uncle was in the Navy he retired. His next promotion was Admiral, and I still rag on him. I'm like, you couldn't have stayed in for like two more years to get Admiral, but he has a. He has a house in Woodbridge.
Oh, up in Northern Virginia.
Yeah. And they've had that place for years and years and years. Anyway, long story short, you know, obviously being in the Navy, moving around a little bit, retired from the Navy, went and lived down in Texas for the last like 10 years. I just found out they're moving to Virginia. I don't know where, but they're moving back to Virginia. It's not going to be in Woodbridge. They're buying another piece of land, and I think they're building or something. But anyway, so, yeah, I'm going to have family up in that area, whether it's Northern Virginia, Southern – I don't know where, but who knows? Maybe I'll just have to make a venture up there and, you know, do a little
sightseeing. Absolutely. Yeah, so what's your – I'm going to write your cell number.
You ready?
All right, I'm ready.
585.
Uh-huh.
300.
Okay.
7260.
585-300-7260. Okay.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm going to – it probably won't be this afternoon because we've got a D-Day thing going on this evening, but I'll just drop you a text so you got my cell number as well. Yeah, because life's too short not to stay in touch with the people that impacted your life. So
I agree 100%.
All right, man. Well, I wish you the very best.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that, and yes, definitely plan on staying in touch, man, for sure.
All right, sounds good. Well, thank you, and thanks for all you did for us through the years, but mostly thanks for your friendship.
Absolutely. So. No, that's great, man. Thank you.
All right, take care, Cameron.
You too. Talk to you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.